Praise God. Hallelujah. We honor God when we praise Him, and He honors us with His presence. And you just can't beat that. That's a great formula for worshiping the Lord. Amen. We love you tonight. You can be seated. Thank you for singing that like you meant it. I believe everybody up here meant every word of that tonight. It makes a big difference when you mean it, when you sing it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're so glad you're here tonight. It's been a different day all the way around because so many people are out today. We're so glad that you could make it tonight. If you're healthy enough to be here, and obviously you are, then you got something to be thankful. There are people that don't have that kind of health tonight, mentally, spiritually, or physically. So you're blessed tonight to have, I used to sing that song, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Because there's a wonderful scripture in the book of Isaiah that said He will keep him in perfect peace. And that sounds like almost an, if it wasn't for the fact that there's nothing impossible with God, that would sound like an impossible promise to keep, wouldn't it? If it wasn't for God being a God of the impossible, that would be an impossible promise to keep because there's so much to interrupt our peace down in this fallen world. But He did make a promise, didn't He? He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Amen? That means not just thinking about God, but looking to God and trusting Him with every part and every facet of your life. Amen? In other words, God needs your cooperation of faith in order to keep His promise of peace. I don't think you heard that. I want you to get it. God needs your cooperation of faith in order for Him to keep His promise of peace. He will keep him in perfect peace. End of story? No. Whose mind is stayed on Thee because he does what? Trust in Thee. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Can you say amen? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Praise God. That's the result. And the peace just flows in when that happens. Praise the Lord. And God wants you to have this great peace tonight. He's the God of peace is what He's called in the New Testament. And I love that about the Lord. Don't you? That He's the God of peace and the God of all grace. Praise God. Amen. I don't know where we're going exactly. I know we're going somewhere in the Word tonight. But I don't know. I'm kind of hung up on He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because He trusteth in Thee. Amen. Peace is something that isn't for sale on the open market. You can't buy it at Walmart. Amen. And you can't buy it at Saks of Fifth Avenue. You can't accumulate enough things in your life to give you peace in your life. And I can't help, but it's just because of the news broadcast. I want to make it very clear I'm not down on Mr. Michael Jackson. I feel great pity for the life that he lived. What a terrible, empty life that this young man lived. What a tainted life that he lived. What a spectacle of defeat and depression that his life represented. Those closest to him said he didn't have any real friends that he could trust. So many people, because of his wealth and influence, they would get closer to him for their personal reasons, but he couldn't find anyone to truly take into his confidence. I think maybe one exception was Berry Gordy, who was with him down through the years promoting things. But other than that, he had no friends. Even his family became alienated, and he would hide away in the fog of drugs and medications, and literally lived a life of a reclusive, eccentric. Rather than someone who said, I've got all of this fortune and fame, I'm just going to enjoy every day of my life, I'm going to have a wonderful attitude. He didn't have that. He couldn't buy that with his fortune. He couldn't gain that with his fame. And to imply in any sense of the word that all of these things, there are whole gospel messengers out there and messages that are telling you if you could achieve what he did, you would be totally fulfilled in life. This is what God wants to do, is lavish you with fame and fortune, and that's baloney. He wants to give you life, and that more abundantly. And he made it very clear in the New Testament that life is more than food and more than raiment. It's more than anything you can indulge on your flesh. It's something for your spirit man that is better than anything that you could indulge your flesh with. Wasn't it great the day that you finally woke up and found out, amen, that serving Jesus was better than sin? Amen. People look at us and think, you mean they gave up? I remember having the flu one time, the honky flu, by the way. And I went into honking to a clinic years and years ago. I went into a clinic, and it's very rare for me to have any health problems. And so it took a lot to get me to a clinic because I'm about, you know, death warmed over before I go to a clinic. But anyway, I come stumbling in, hacking, coughing, sneezing, wheezing, and feverish. And a male nurse took me back into the waiting room. You think when they finally take you in there that the wait is over? I got news for you. You might as well get yourself a magazine, a Walkman, take your Bible with you, do something, because sitting up on that table, that's just the next stage of waiting. Amen. You wait in there for a long time. Thankfully, they didn't put one of them silly gowns on me and all of that kind of stuff. Amen. But anyway, they took me in, and you know the silly one. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? Why do they take all your clothes and then give you a gown with the back out? I mean, you know, it's just, I have seen things in hospitals that no one should actually see. But anyway. But I was sitting back there, and the male nurse come in, and he started taking my blood pressure, prepping me for the doctor to come in and take my blood pressure, taking my temperature. And he said, "Sir, I have to ask you just a few basic questions." I said, "Go right ahead." And between hacking and wheezing, he said, "Do you drink?" I said, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "Do you smoke?" I said, "No, sir, I don't." And he stopped, and he went back like that, and he went back like that. You know, he says, "You don't have any fun, do you?" And I said, "Yes, I do. I have a very good time in life without drinking or smoking, thank you." He couldn't get over the fact that if you don't indulge yourself in some habit, that you could actually have any fun. Because he immediately began to think, oh, he's one of them. He's one of those people that don't do what everybody else does, and he's one of those guys, and he don't have no fun. He don't know what fun is. And I thought, man, you ought to hang with me on a Sunday. You ought to hang with me on a Sunday. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to just go. I mean, that's back when we were hooping and hollering at the Holy Church of God. We were known as that noisy church on the corner. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But they can't get over it. The world can't. They don't see us as that kind of people. They see us as somehow deprived of what's really important in life. So the church has kind of sided with the world and said, you need what they got, amen, if you're going to be happy and if you're going to be fulfilled. The problem is there's something the world doesn't have that we possess in abundance. Now, God needs your cooperation to keep this promise to you. And if he's going to set us in contrast to the world, it's going to take more than our holiness. It's going to take our peace. You didn't hear me tonight. It's going to take more than your holiness to be set in contrast to the world. They're not going to envy your holiness. I'm going to tell you, they do not respect your righteousness. Amen. All it does is convict them. But let me tell you what will convince them, amen, that what you have is what they need. That's when you and I acquire the peace that passes all understanding. Because they can't buy it. Amen. Bill Gates is worth $58 billion. I remember when he was a poverty-stricken $38 billion. Amen. Well, not really poverty stricken. You know what I'm saying. It just seems so far from 58. Once you get past a million, my calculator just kind of goes on the fritz and fizzles. Amen. I don't understand all of that kind of stuff. I did hear someone talking about dollar bills, stacking them end to end, that someone was rich enough to reach the moon. That's how much money they had. That's an incredible amount of wealth for one individual to contain. Amen. The problem is you can't buy peace with it. You can't buy peace with it. Listen, God needs your cooperation to give you peace. God has to have it. He will keep them in perfect peace. It's not an empty promise without anything on our part. Can you say amen? He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind stayed on. I woke up this morning with my mind. If that's more than a song, then God can give you peace because you will trust in him if he is your focus and he is your source. Can you say amen? There's so many people that God is an afterthought. I've never got over people saying to me in hospitals when I go to pray for somebody, usually somebody didn't ask for me to come, but a family member asked me to go, and I got in there with their old hard-headed cold-hearted, backslid, whatever family member. Amen. And God loves them. Everybody say God loves cold-hearted, backslid people. Amen. But they are cold-hearted when they're backslid. Can you say amen? And they don't have any warm feelings toward God. They have a great need in their body, but they don't see any need for spiritual help. And so I would go in and say, sir, so-and-so asked me to come and see you. Glad to meet you. My name is Pastor Venable, and I'd like to share a prayer with you, you know. Well, go ahead. It couldn't hurt. And at that point, my want to, you know what my want to was? The prayer's going to be no good anyway. God's not going to honor that kind of, you know, yeah, go ahead. You know, it can't hurt. There's not one ounce of faith in it. Can you say? Not a bit. Go ahead. It couldn't hurt. Why not? Well, you know, doctor's giving me this. They're going to do that. Throw a prayer up there and see what happens. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We just throw a prayer up there. Nothing's going to happen. Amen. He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man expect to receive anything from God. You can't be wishy-washy in your faith life. You just can't. But I pray my dutiful pastoral prayer so I can tell somebody I went to see your hard-headed, backslidden loved one. Yeah. Can you say amen? And what I'm praying for is God will really get a hold of them and shake them till they get right on the way out. Get a hold of them and shake them till they get right, because they need to be right more than they need to be healed in their body to go on out and do their own backslidden thing. God is a gracious, good God. Sometimes I wonder why he puts up with us. Amen. The more I see how ugly man can be to him, the more I'm convinced of his grace and his mercy. Isn't he a gracious, merciful God? Hallelujah. Long-suffering. Amen. Not willing that any should perish, but that all might have eternal life. He will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because they trust in me. I'm going to say that again. He will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me, because he trusteth in me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm glad for that promise in the Word of God. That's an important promise in the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The world is not impressed with your holiness, your righteousness. They could care less that you live a holy life, except in terms of enhancing your personal testimony. But if you want to entice them, it's going to take more than your straight-lacedness, and God wants you to be a straight-laced Christian. He wants you to have a different moral standard and live differently than the world about you. But if you are as tore up as they are, they don't see how having a God like yours is going to make a difference in this world. They actually, most of them, believe that in the world to come it's going to matter. But they're not really convinced that in this world it makes a difference, because they can't see God's people living higher in terms of peace, fulfillment, than they are. They don't see us handling worries and fears and anxieties and hurts much different than they are. They've heard of our divisions. Some people that have attended church have seen big church fights. They have seen humongous failures among some of the most prominent Christian leaders in America in the last few years. Defeat. Divorce, secret sins that have been coddled for years that finally came to the surface. One thing I found about the Lord, amen, to the hurt of his own reputation and work, he will expose the sins of his people. Amen? Did you realize that? Be sure. Make no doubt about it. Your sin will find you out. If you're practicing the sin of unforgiveness tonight, be sure, if you carry that into communion, it's going to affect your body. Be sure unconfessed sin will find us all out. Can you say amen? If you're holding something in that should have been down at an altar, if you've held back when you should have been in an altar, be sure. Make no mistake about it. It's going to find you out. Your joy will be gone. Your peace will not be there. Amen. You can have the bumper sticker, the lapel pin, all the Christian paraphernalia, but the real stuff that makes your life a witness and set in contrast to the world will not be surfacing. Be sure. Make no mistake about it. This little deal about examining yourself, judging yourself lest you be judged before, amen, in a communion service. This, how many know that's important stuff? Because if we don't deal thoroughly with sin in our life before we come to the Lord's table, my Bible says that you're going to drink out of that cup and it's like drinking poison. Not poison that kills you immediately, but that is accumulative over time. How many would like a little bit of arsenic mixed with your grape juice on Sunday morning? Just a little jigger, about one-fifth to the rest of it. How many would like to come communion knowing that there's a little bit of arsenic in your cup, Terry? I wouldn't want no arsenic in my cup. I don't want to drink something that's going to hurt me. And I know it's going to hurt me. And yet the Bible said if we don't deal with our sins before we approach His table, what do we drink? Blessing? It's supposed to be the cup of blessing. What does it turn into? Cursing? From who? The devil? That mean old devil? No, from a God who says, I'm not playing games about this holiness stuff. I'm not asking you to be perfect, but I'm asking you not to be too proud to repent when you're wrong. I resist the proud. I give grace to the humble. You can't take tokens that represent the holy, wonderful sacrifice of Jesus and not use that blood as an that shed blood as an opportunity to get our sins under it. Can you say amen? One of the things that doesn't happen enough of, we don't repent of our sins publicly. Yeah. We don't do it. We have no real example of someone saying, you know something, I've had aught in my heart, and I haven't dealt with it. I want it dealt with, but I repent, and I pray that God will help me, and I want y'all to pray with me. That's called confessing your faults one to another. That what may happen to you? That ye may be what? That ye may be what? Healed. Healed. Amen. We have made all of the healing, all of the victories, a faith issue. There is no place in the Bible that faith ever stands alone to obtain anything. There are conditions where God will honor faith. And faith is essential when we meet those conditions. But there is no faith that is honored without meeting God's conditions. Unforgiveness, forget praying. Forget it. Just throw it clean out the window. If you don't forgive men, the Father won't forgive you. And there's no one in here so perfect that won't need God's forgiveness. That's called grace and mercy. Amen? Amen? You don't forgive that person, you're praying for a need in your life, and God said, I can't do it. I want to do it. I love you enough to do it. I've made a provision for it. But until you forgive, I can't, because legitimately you don't qualify. And yet we're just teaching faith or seed for the need. We're not teaching people to get their hearts right before God. We're not preaching repentance. And what has happened in the church, we don't fare much better than the world in our health and other areas of our life, mental, physical. Amen. We end up in the same conditions that the world around us, and we've got the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That should make a difference. Give me another amen. That should make a difference. God said, return to me. What am I going to do? I'm going to sit aloof up here in my heaven and let you struggle like everybody else down there. No, you return to me. I will return to you. I want you to know when Jehovah returns to his people, everything that he was in the Old Testament, he will be to us. Amen. And part of that is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician. He will return healing to his people. And another part of that is Jehovah Shalom. We will be a people that have the peace that passes understanding, while the world is the people that can't buy that. And they will look at us and say, their God is taking such good care of them. Can you say amen? They have optimism. They have something in their life that I don't possess. They don't have the things and the influence that I have, but they've got something I don't have. David Wilkerson was on television on Johnny Carson about the time of the release of the Cross and the Switchblade movie, where Pat Boone played David Wilkerson, and he wrote the book The Cross and the Switchblade. Years and years ago, he was on there with the comic, and the comic was so the audience went crazy when this comedian came out and did his comedic act. He put on, you'd think this man is the happiest most jovial, jocular man in the world. I mean, he's just so alive and vibrant, and he's telling joke after joke, and he's laughing, and he's gooning it up with the audience, and they're having a big time, and Johnny's laughing. He's got a big hand clap, total success. Money has rolled in. He plays in Vegas, this comic. I forget which one. There's so many. But in Vegas, he's a hit. He's in the heyday of his life. By the way, not long ago, Richard Jenna, a stand-up comic that was well-known in the Vegas circuit, took his own life just about a little over maybe a year ago. Just couldn't face life anymore. This man that's making everybody else laugh has no peace in his life. And Richard Jenna commits suicide. So many people are putting on a front to the public around them, but in their private life, it's entirely different. I worked with a man. He was a big man. He could have played linebacker for the Bucks. He was that big. I mean, he was big. And jovial, he got Employee of the Month. And what it said about him, it said that he's a good worker. He's dedicated to his job. And all of us are lifted up by his infectious laughter and joy. Isn't that incredible to have that kind of thing written underneath your name? He was known for his laughter and his joy. And he didn't come to work for 3 days and no phone call. Somebody went by his apartment to check on him. There was no answer, yet the car was there, and they got concerned, and they went and got the sheriff, and they went and got the manager of the apartment complex, and he was separated.